Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Wonder Girls' New Shoes.
New Shoes. Oh, Jade, I love me some Wonder Girls.
Yeah, I said that tentatively because new is spelt N-U, as in...
Why are you being such an old person picking up on these kind of spelling things?
Well, to be honest, Dave, when my mum attempts to do text language, I pick her up on her poor language. But having said that, she does make up her own versions of things, of text language.
Look, for, you know, Mama Gulliver's the one who co-wrote the new Wonder Girls single.
Well, if that was the case, we wouldn't understand any of the lyrics.
Look, Jade, I mean, apart from picking on funny spellings, this is why, you guys, you don't know this, right? Half the time when I am picking songs for Different Strokes, when there is a song spelt in a funny way, mm-hmm. and I don't want Jade to make an issue out of it, I will actually correct the spelling on the sheet. So when she looks at it, she will not make an issue out of it like we have right now.
I can't help it.
You're just such a linguist. I know. I understand that. I get where you're coming from. Now, on tonight's show, I'm going to review Cher Lloyd's new album, and you need to look at the track listing because practically nothing on that album is spelt right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be one of those...
I'm not okay with poor spelling.
You're not even when it's deliberate just to be cool?
No, that's even worse. We're encouraging people not to use the correct spelling of things.
Here at Different Strokes, we're trying to be proper.
Yeah.
So, look, sometime last week, I started a new job, Jade.
Yes.
Now, I'm very excited about starting at this new place. Everyone there is really nice. But I think on the first day, the manager asked me, oh, so do you prefer David or do you have a nickname?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the kind of concession. This is the kind of conversation starter most people would dream about because there's nothing worse than starting work or starting, like a house sharing situation with somebody who just appoints you a nickname mm-hmm. without checking first.
Yes.
So I think it's respectful. I think it's great that they've asked me if I have a nickname. If so, what is it? Let us know
mm-hmm.
rather than just a fixed one, Jade.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dave, one of the big ones that I get often is Jadey.
JD.
Yeah.
Hi, JD.
I am not okay with it. My nan can call me JD, but I will not accept it from other people. And it's like, you know, it's kind of, I think that at work, it for whatever reason, I've managed to keep it on low level. So, you know, and my personality is obviously quite low level, but when people have sort of started to get to know me a bit better, they're like, oh, JD. And no.
Now, here's the question. When you get affixed a nickname you don't like at work, do you shut it down straight away or do you just, oh, it's okay, I'll just grin and bear it?
It depends on what it is. I have a personal problem with being called JD, and so I will say, my nan can get away with calling me that, no one else.
Okay. You see, if you put it like that, it's actually not as harsh.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want to hear your thoughts. Let us know. Do you have a nickname that your workmates call you, and did you have a say in that?
Yes.
That's the most important thing. Did you have a say in your nickname?
Because, you know, I've played rugby, Dave, and my girlfriend actually played rugby too, and she has a a nickname, and I'm sure you've heard it before, that it's quite controversial. Like, it has kind of connotations to it. And she was just, she happened to be wrong place, wrong time. She just walked in the door at a certain time. Everyone, you know, the more senior members of the team thought, oh, wouldn't it be a good idea if we gave one of the rookies this nickname? And that was her nickname, and it stuck with her, you know, to the point where to this day people call her that nickname.
Oh, and she doesn't like it?
No, it's not that she doesn't like it.
It's just that it was an odd nickname.
It's an odd nickname, and, you know, do you really want people calling you that in front of your parents, etc.?
Oh, so you see, this is something you guys need to think about if you're starting work at a new place and, you know, nicknames come about. Do you shoot it down then and there, mm-hmm. or are you happy to stick with it for as long as it takes?
Culture. The attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group.
Welcome to Different Strokes Culture.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave.
Look, you were cackling.
I can't help it, Dave. I can't help it. Fembot Dave is my favourite.
Something about that segment intro always gets Jade in, yeah.
A giggle fit.
A bit of a giggle fit, yeah. Which is not something you say very much about Jade.
No.
She doesn't do giggle fits. In any case, look, we've got a tweet here from That Boy James.
Yes.
We were talking about nicknames that people assign you at work.
And yep.
At what point, if you don't like it, should you say something?
Well, and he says that everyone he knows has a different nickname for him, and he doesn't mind, but he hates being called Jimmy.
I assume that if your name is James, Jimmy is going to be a very common one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's always, I mean, being a Jade, right, my name can't be shortened.
What is shorter than one syllable?
Yeah. And so I always get Jady as my shortening or my Australianness.
I get Limmy, which I quite like, and I think it's kind of I've kind of embraced that as my branding.
Yes,
you know, you know, Stacey Ferguson has Fergie.
Mm-hmm.
I am, you know, David Lim Limmy.
Mm-hmm.
So when that single drops one day, it will.
Although my girlfriend has started referring to you more and more as Limonce since you mentioned that at a party, like to the point where we were writing our, you know, starting to write our Christmas, you know, year in review thing, and she wrote David Limonce Lim.
Look, I'm very happy to for people to call me Limonce as well. Going back to that story of when I was, you know, first day at work and they asked me what nickname I prefer, I say Limmy.
Yeah.
It's fine to call me Dave. It's fine to call me Limmy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're feeling sassy, you can call me Limonce. Girl, I've never seen anybody shut down a room so quick. Let me tell you, the guys were just gobsmacked.
Yeah, yeah.
These men did not know what they were into. Like, they were just like, who is this?
You know, I could see that you might be quite a standout in that organization, Dave.
You know, turn up one day and coin a nickname for yourself after Beyonce and you're bound to stand out. In any case, look, tonight we're going to talk about celebrities running the web because I was very concerned at some point this week when I heard that MC Hammer is going to be creating his own version of Google.
What's it called, Dave?
It's called it's called Wiredu. With a double O.
I find it interesting when anyone tries, because, you know, Google's obviously overtaken search. Like, you know.
Google is like the chairman of search engines. It's the be all and end all.
And, there was Bing obviously came out, you know, maybe a year or two ago now.
And that flopped harder than Nat Bass's single, yeah.
Well, you know, it's got the advantage of being the default browser or search engine of in the IE browser. But apart from that, its results are...
It's not good, is it?
No.
So it kind of struck me as a bit odd that, you know, MC Hammer is trying to do something on the interwebs, trying to launch this huge search engine that rivals Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought, oh, look, oh, this is... not really in your business plan, is it? Like, how is this related to brand MC Hammer?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of got me thinking, is the digital world the new space now for brand expansion? I mean, are we going to see more celebrities come out and start investing in websites and startup projects?
I think what you probably, like, I honestly, I think it might be more that obviously technology companies are a good place to invest money because, you know, obviously these celebrities, you know, have a lot of money or whatever. And it's,
I don't know about MC Hammer.
And it's the, yeah, well, I don't know where he got the money to make the new Google, but good on him. Like, if Hammer Time is still, you know, he's got enough residuals off that, then good on him. But you know, the idea that you're actually, it's actually a solid investment when you think about, you know, particularly around American markets at the moment, all of the housing market is in the dumps. Like, you know, technology is an emerging market. It's, you know, it might be considered a sound investment, I guess.
But obviously you have to make the right choice when it comes to investing exactly. in it. So, because there are lots of websites, and we've already named Bing. There are lots of other kind of social networking sites or, you know, other kinds of search engines that don't really make it.
You know,
it.
They are becoming dime a dozen. So, you know, it is very hit and miss.
Speaking of social networking sites, Justin Timberlake bought MySpace earlier this year for mm-hmm. $35 million. That's another example.
Yeah, well, I was reading what he, you know, intends to do with MySpace, you know, what their long-term plan is for MySpace. Like, honestly, I believe us as the general populace jumping off MySpace was the best thing that ever happened to MySpace, because I remember when MySpace first started, it was all about, you know, musicians collaborating with other people, other musicians, and, you know, it was just really about showcasing music. It then became like this, you know, big thing where everyone was showcasing themselves effectively.
Mm. And now teenagers have Tumblr to do that, so yeah. they don't need MySpace.
And so, and now it's moving back to, you know, what they want, those guys want to do with MySpace is move it back to that, which, you know, back to what it originally was about, you know, being collaborative around music.
If that is the vision that Justin Timberlake has for MySpace, I kind of see where he's coming from. It kind of fits with his brand, yeah. you know, as a musician, as a producer, as an entertainer. It makes sense for him to take that direction with a website.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the celebrities that are running the web, as far as I'm aware, is and doing it quite well, I should say,
mm-hmm.
is Jay-Z. Jay-Z has a blog called Life and Times.
Yep.
Girl, this sounds like something, you know, sounds like it's some sort of cultured blog, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds highbrow.
It sounds a bit highbrow, yes, but it's actually very, it's very easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't require a lot of critical
and
thinking.
Now, is Jay-Z providing all the content himself, or is one of Jay-Z's peeps doing it for him?
I don't know if Jay-Z has like a work experience kid that comes in and, you know,
I mean,
learns the content management system.
Yeah, I assume that it's, you know, the peeps doing it rather than him, right?
But I
and he's more the editor of the,
and that is fine.
Yeah,
you know, I like the idea of artists like Jay-Z, you know, creating something, creating a blog that isn't necessarily about his music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his Life and Times blog has things about sports, has things about culture, technology. So, and it in itself, the blog has a culture, has a feel, has a vibe about it that is very much its own. So you can actually visit this blog and not feel like, oh, I have to be a Jay-Z fan to get this.
Yeah, yeah.
Another celebrity is Gwyneth Paltrow. She did her Goop newsletter. Oh, this started years ago.
Yeah.
And it's basically a very upper-class white lady kind of newsletter. That's how I would put it. And I'm being sweet about it.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, kind of mind, body, and soul stuff in there. And I can see this fits with Gwyneth Paltrow's brand. She is an upper-class white lady,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it makes sense that her newsletter will have stuff on, like, healthier living and eating organic veggies.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Gwyneth.
Managing career and life and children.
Yes, children, what sort of fun activities you can do with your children that enhances quality time mm-hmm. rather than throwing them with an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the kind of stuff. This is very Gwyneth ethos. in any case, look, later we're gonna keep talking about new websites and things like that, because here at Different Strokes, we're big on that.
Yes, we are. We definitely are. We're going to talk about Meep coming up. Meep Me Meep coming up next. But Dave, next week on the show, I'm actually going to talk about Alec Baldwin's podcast, which started a couple of weeks ago, called Here's the Thing. So it's another example of celebrities on the interwebs.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I have to say, we did get another tweet come in that says, that's from Green Girl, who says, I get greenie instead of green girl, which I prefer.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Dave, it was interesting during that little sting there, the way they mentioned Different Strokes is on at 7. We both did this same, looked at each other like we were surprised.
I know. It's like, oh, we're on air? You mean like right now?
Yeah. I find it like people honestly don't believe me that we forget that we're on air. We honestly don't. I never think I'm on radio. And it's easier for me to deal with it that way.
Unless I'm throwing a live read sheet at you and go, Jade, this is a live read
even
announcement.
Then, it's like I'm doing it in this own little... It's like I'm reading it to you, Dave. I don't even think about it.
That is the power of my magnetism.
Yeah, it is. All-encompassing.
That's right.
anyway, I heard about this social network called MeMeep, Dave, and I thought I wanted to check it out. Initially because I'd heard that it's based in Melbourne. I thought, oh, well, it's a new social network and we like to talk about things that, you know, social networky type stuff and anything that's new. And then I was like, oh, the local element of this is quite interesting too because it's obviously based in Melbourne. But to explain a bit about what it is, it's actually still very early on. It's in its beta stages. You know, it's about 500 people at the moment. But it's effectively, it's a social network that's built entirely around the concept of moving. So moving things, you can basically what there's two people types of people. There's movers and there's shakers. And the movers are the people who are volunteering to move things for people. And the shakers are the people who go to someone and say, I need this moved. And you can, you know, it can be like, I need house supply, you know, I need to move house or whatever. Or it could be something as simple as a courier style thing. It is a paid, you do have to pay the person that you're getting to move. Mm-hmm. Effectively, how it works is you put up your profile, you say, I'm trying to move this. You get matched with people who can move what you need to get moved. You know, I need to move it here or whatever. And then you will go ahead and, you know, discuss what the price might be. And Dave, you were saying off air, I don't understand, like, how shouldn't there be some boundaries around what the price is? You know, and I kind of thought, well, you know, to me, it's like you're doing...
It's kind of like eBay. Yeah. Like, there is no price for anything, really. It's a negotiation between the buyer and seller.
And the more I kind of looked into it, the more I did think, you know, it is effectively a bit more like eBay for moving. Because, you know, you have to actually verify who you are and you do that. You know, of course, you've got your profile and your registration and all of that, but you do have to verify your bank details as well. And so this kind of, you know, you're not just...
You're not just handing your goods over to a stranger.
Exactly. You don't, you know, there's a certain amount of comfort in that particular thing.
There is some sort of security and reassurance happening.
And then at the end of the process, you go ahead and you can rate that person. So, you know, again, kind of that eBay concept of, you know, oh, yeah, I was happy with this.
With the way this person moved me.
Yes. You know, it's interesting, Dave, why I find this interesting, again, is it's another like example for me about how the internet has enabled these kind of really, you know, we talk often about, you know, I always try and have a go at you and say that the magazine is dead and you're always talking about niches in magazines.
Yep.
It's kind of like, I feel like niche communities are growing on the internet around specific things and specific services, you know, things like couch surfing is another good example. You know, now there's this huge culture around if you go overseas, you've got somewhere to stay. Like, you don't have to worry about staying in a hotel if you don't, you know, if you don't have the money or whatever. You can go stay at some random's house, obviously, again. And this is another example of, you know, we're not as a community or, you know, a culture anymore going and relying on an organization or, you know, a particular to provide us with a service. We're saying, oh, there's people out there that can help us too.
And I feel that this is a very organic approach to it, which is what I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of MeMeet being a website that lets you kind of, people always say, oh, you know, everyone's on the internet these days.
Yeah.
It's less personal. This is a website that actually lets you meet up with someone.
Yeah.
Might even make a friend or two. I mean,
well, and you know, I always argue against people who say the internet is not personal, because, you know,
it's as personal as you want it to exactly, be, baby boo.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've probably got some really good examples in our personal lives of people that we've met who we'd never have met if it wasn't for the internet.
Exactly. I mean, there are a lot of people that I follow on Twitter that I've met this year in real life, and it's just, I talk to them more than I do with some of my other friends.
And you feel like you've got an immediate connection with that person.
Because you share that common interest, and the internet brings people with common interests together.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel that humanity and us as a society, we okay.
Yeah, anytime anyone goes all internet cynicism on me, I always arc up with my...
Yeah, shut it down, girl. Shut it down.
Anyway, check out MeMeep. I'm sure over the, you know, over the next sort of couple of months, we'll see the Different Strokes bump happen and they'll get really popular.
Who knows? I could be sitting in my office one day and somebody might physically show up to courier us our goods.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, I can't wait to hear about Sher Lloyd.
Look, I've played this girl on our show before, Jade, and it did not go down well. You did not like Swagger Jagger.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay.
Look, you're actually not alone in that. That is a very, very divisive song.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of you who don't know who Sher Lloyd is, she is possibly one of the most exciting young pop stars to emerge out of the UK in the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I've really narrowed it down for you. There's no way that you could possibly miss Sher Lloyd.
Okay.
She emerged on X Factor last year, the UK X Factor,
mm-hmm.
as this kind of, you know, rapping, sing femcee thing, you know. It's never been done on the X Factor before to this level of goodness.
Yeah.
So she really did stand out. She literally went viral with a few of her performances on the show. Now, you know, it's been almost a year now since she left the competition, and, you know, she was signed immediately. She went into work on this album, Sticks and Stones, and now here it is. It's actually, it is, Jade. I'm not gonna beat around the bush here. It is redefining this new generation of bubblegum pop for us.
Okay.
I would say if you're a fan of Willow Smith.
Oh, God.
Come on, Jade. Stop haterating. If you're a fan of Willow Smith, you're really going to love Sher
Lloyd's
album.
I'm already mentally preparing myself
to not like it.
Well, no, when at the end of the year we do our year in review where you name a Sher Lloyd song of the year.
Yeah, I absolutely would. In fact, I will give you all the reasons why Sher Lloyd's album is defining. It's feisty, it's catchy, and, you know, Jay, this feels like a smattering of British pop with a bit of hip-hop, with a bit of dubstep electronica. It's very current, but it's still really catchy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually sound like everything else that's happening out there, you know. It's not wall-to-wall Red One Productions. It's not sounding like J-Lo. It's not trying to sound like Kelly Rowland. It's not trying to sound like, you know, any other pop group out there. So Sher has her own sound, and I'm glad that the producers have gone through this effort to really bring together this unique blend just for her. The feel is very American and British pop, I feel. I think it's very 50-50. You know, we've got collaborations on there with Busta Rhymes, Mike Posner, and a couple of underground British grime rappers as well, just for good measure.
So plenty of renter rappers?
It's not that many, actually, to be honest, because she can rap herself as mm-hmm. well. So you must understand that's that element there
so
already.
So do you see a future for her as a renter rapper then?
I don't think Cher Lloyd is a rent a rapper. Yeah. I think she's too unique to just be used as a rent a rapper. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. she can own the start of a song right up to the rap breakdown, right up to the hook again. So she don't need anybody. And, you know, anybody wanting her to tag along on their track needs to basically brace themselves to be shut down.
Maybe if she wants to make it in America.
Well, then she'll have famous rappers assist her, wouldn't she, Jade?
Yes.
Some of the highlights on Cher's album Sticks and Stones include With Your Love, the current single, which mm-hmm. debuted at number 4 in the UK.
I see that spelt incorrectly.
Jade, you girl, like, come on. She's 18.
I don't understand how I don't understand how you are means you're.
It's text language. Talk to your mum. Your mum does it.
Yeah, but she, yeah. She would spell it completely different to that.
She wouldn't even think of you are, would she, nah. for your. So With Your Love, it, very summery, very girly, excellent pop song. Player Boy, which is spelled, I'm going to show you the sheet. Player Boy, PLAYABOI.
Yeah, love that one.
See, another deliberate misspelling. Mm-hmm. Deal with it, mama. Mm-hmm. Deal with it. Player Boy is another amazing song. It's produced by Red One. Samples Nene Cherry's Buffalo Stance. It's got this really cool whizzing 80s synth mix through the back. And finally, the most important song in the album, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, is Want You Back.
Mm-hmm.
With, I'm going to
say, You.
Want You Back, Jade. Yeah. Get that, copy that.
Yeah, because those two extra letters, yeah, that's a lot of space.
Look, if she had spelled the actual word Y-O-U, then it would have looked like some...
unoriginal.
Yeah, it would look like some Take That song.
Yeah.
But Want You with a
what
U.
What a classic song that was.
Showing your age. Want You Back actually basically sounds like a Bewitched single if it was released in 2011.
What is Bewitched?
C'est la vie. Hello, do you remember Bewitched?
No.
I'm going to play you this track. And for those of you out there who know Bewitched, you will know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.